Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast series. My name is Natalie Tornisi, and I'm a Senior Solutions Manager at Outsource Strategies International. I wanted to take this opportunity to talk about frequent medical coding errors. Failing to provide accurate information and the right codes to support claims can lead to denials or delays, as well as allegations of improper billing practices. To avoid this, you should know about the most common errors. What are they? First off, assigning the wrong CPT code. There are thousands of CPT codes, and these are updated annually. For instance, there were 314 CPT code changes in 2018, with 172 new codes, 60 revised codes, and 82 code deletions. Coding accuracy can be ensured only by experienced certified coders who are up to date with code changes and knowledgeable about medical terminology, anatomy, and most importantly, payer regulations. Unbundling codes. This refers to billing multiple CPT codes to obtain a higher reimbursement for a set of procedures that can be captured by a single comprehensive, inclusive CPT code. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of California stated that services considered incidental, mutually exclusive, integral to the primary services rendered, or part of a global allowance are not eligible for separate reimbursement. Most insurances follow this guideline. An example of an incidental procedure that is not separately reimbursable is the removal of an asymptomatic appendix when done during a hysterectomy surgery. Upcoding, like unbundling, upcoding is also considered fraudulent. Upcoding refers to submitting CPT codes for a more expensive service than was actually provided. Medical Economics recently reported that payments made under Medicare Part B program in 2015, there was found that more than 1,250 providers billed every office visit using the highest level 99215 code, which should actually be used only for visits that involve a more intense exam and usually take more time. This is why it is so important to make sure that the code that you select coincides with the documentation. If it's not documented, it was not done. Everything to support a higher level of coding should be documented completely. Also, you always need to check the national coding edits when reporting multiple codes. In a recent report on coding errors, the American Medical Association cautioned that physicians need to check the automated prepayment NCCI edits published by Medicare and Medicaid to ensure accurate coding. The NCCI edits, which were developed to prevent inappropriate payments for Medicare Part B claims, show when CPT codes should not be coded together during the same encounter. The American Medical Association notes if there is an NCCI edit, one of the codes is denied. For example, the APA Practice Organization points out that code 90791, a psychological evaluation, and 96116, a neurobehavioral status exam, should not both be reported and paid for the same patient on the same day by the same provider. In this case, 90791 is reimbursable, while 96116 is not. It's very important to link the ICD-10 codes with the CPT codes and HSPIS codes. CPT and HSPIS codes on the claim should correspond with the ICD-10 code that justifies the medical procedure. The claim would be incomplete if the procedure in the physician's report as indicated by the CPT code is not linked with the listed diagnosis described by the appropriate ICD code. Not appending modifiers or inappropriate modifier use is very common. Modifiers are appended to CPT and HSPIS codes to inform the payer of special circumstances. For instance, an E&M service can be billed on the same day as a surgical procedure when a patient's condition requires a significant, separately identifiable A&M service beyond the usual care, or when the decision to perform a major surgical procedure is made the same day as the surgery. In this situation, the appropriate modifier code could be appended on the A&M claim. Modifier 25 is used for significant, separately identifiable evaluation and management service by the same physician on the same day of the procedure or other service. The American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons explains that for joint injections, the the pre-service work includes explaining the procedure to the patient and or family, discussing possible complications, and obtaining informed consent. The post-service work includes applying a dressing, monitoring for immediate side effects, providing recommendations on activity modification, and counseling the patient and or family about symptoms and signs of possible complications. If the services provided in the EM visit go beyond this typical pre- and post-service work, they can be considered significant and separately identifiable and reported by Appending Modifier 25. The documentation should explain why the additional work was necessary. Using modifiers requires a proper understanding of the global surgical practice and all NCCI edits. You also need to be aware and well educated on the local coverage determinations as well. Improper injection code reporting. Only one code should be reported for the entire session involving injections. Improper reporting occurs when multiple units of a code are reported. Incorrect reporting of infusion and hydration codes, which are time-based. Infusion involves an IV medication administered for over 15 minutes or more, and hydration involves prepackaged fluids given through an IV for 31 minutes to an hour. For IV infusion hydration, 96360 should be reported for the initial 31 minutes to 1 hour, and not for hydration that lasts 30 minutes or less. Code 96361 should be reported for each additional hour, in addition to code for primary service. Code 96361 also indicates that hydration using the same IV access as the initial hydration service. The American Medical Association also points out that there are specific rules for reporting services provided over 2 days of service. For example, if a continuous intravenous hydration is given from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m., the two administrations should be reported separately as initial 96374 and sequential 96376 instead of continuous infusion. Another big mistake is not including comprehensive documentation when reporting unlisted procedure codes. Unlisted procedure codes should be reported with proper documentation to describe the service. Payers will deny claims billed with unlisted procedure codes without narrative information and supporting documentation. Supporting documentation and details should always include a clear description of the nature, extent, and need for the procedure or service, the patient's diagnosis, as well as all the risks of complications. I hope this helps. Always remember, documentation and a thorough knowledge of payer regulations and guidelines is critical to ensure accurate reimbursement for the procedures performed. Thank you so much for listening.